So 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1, the Bible says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. Now listen to the wording in this. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That old man of God, Sunday, and I didn't chase this down because anything that he said, but that old man of God said Sunday, he was talking about the fear of God being, being a refuge and being the foundation of life. Wasn't that good? I'm just telling you, son, that was some kind of good. That was just good. I mean, that second service to me was worth its weight. And if you could put a weight on time, it was worth its weight in gold. I mean, it's worth its weight in time. And, I thought that first service was just a good, safe outline for a people he didn't know, a place he didn't know. And he found out that he had liberty here. Then he sat down to eat with us and he just got to know us that much, but he realized he was amongst friends. And he come back in here that second service, and I mean, God just opened it up for him, and he got to be personal and got to be himself, and God used him. And I listened to that thing again yesterday, and I turned it off, and I just thought to myself, that's a holy man of God. That's what that was. That was a holy man of God. And it wasn't something he was trying to be, and that's just what was coming out of him. Amen. I'm telling you, it was a blessing. And then Brother Asquith texted me, I think this morning, and told me, he said, Brother Herbert Williamson's a holy man. And, apparently he didn't listen to that tape, or that recording. I told him how good that second service was. But that fear of the Lord, that fear of the Lord, he said, the perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Having therefore these promises. And I thought, what promises are they? So in order to understand what promises it was, I had to back up in chapter number 6 and see some of the promises that he was talking about. So because we got these things, what should we do? He said, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit. You understand your spirit gets filthy? You understand that it more than just your flesh has to deal with the filth of sin? Your spirit has to deal with the filth of sin? It's amazing. Look at Ezekiel, if you will, Ezekiel chapter number 22. Isaiah, that's good, son. I'm glad you're crying. I must have some conviction going tonight. Grandpa said I never did have it. So I want him to hear that on the tape. That's Isaiah crying. Kid gets under conviction, his daddy takes him out, beats him for it. God help us. Kid won't matter. He'll kick against the pricks the rest of his life. Lord have mercy. I don't know. Here we go. Ezekiel chapter number 22. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, now, thou son of man, wilt thou judge? Wilt thou judge the bloody city? Yea, thou shalt show her all her abominations. Then say thou, thus saith the Lord God, the city sheddeth blood in the midst of it, that her time may come and maketh idols against herself to defile herself. Thou art become guilty in thy blood that thou hast shed and hast defiled thyself in thine idols, which thou hast made, and thou hast caused thy days to draw near, and are come even unto thy years. Therefore have I made thee a reproach unto the heathen, and a mocking to all countries. Those that be near, and those that be far from thee. Can I stop right there for a second and say this? Can I say that, it seems like Miss Holly, that sin is all fun and quaint and cute. It seems like sin is just a thing to do. But I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When you get caught up in that, and I'm sure most of y'all already know this, but when you get caught up in sin, son, when tragedy hits your life because of sin, you know what you become? You become a reproach to people.
That's right. That same crowd that was promoting you and egging you on and helping you and aiding you in that sin, when something comes up in your life, I tell you, you become a mocking stock to those people. They sit around and look at you and laugh. You know what I'm trying to say, Miss Stephanie? I mean, out of all the stuff that we know about them little girls, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we've stood in this pulpit and used this family time after time after time again for illustration. These little girls chasing these black boys, a particular little family, the whole family, all except for one of them, chasing all them black boys. You know good and well what I'm talking about. And lo and behold, just turn on the news yesterday, somebody says, man, y'all need to listen to the news report. Y'all need to check it out. And they told us what was going on. We listened to the news report, and the girl, hey, listen, she's went beyond blacks now, and she's starting to send middle school students naked pictures of herself. Right. I mean, here's a grown woman that's a teacher in the middle school over here in Davie County. And somehow their mind, I don't know why the whole family seems like their mind's perverted, but now she's gone from one thing and stooped down to a middle school kid and has sent nude pictures of herself out to these children in the middle school where she teaches. You know what she becomes? You know what people do now? Everybody used to sit around and think that they was good looking girl. Man, they sure are pretty. Boy, I tell you, on and on and on. I've heard all kind of stuff. And they are some pretty little girls in that family, Miss Holly. But everybody else is sitting there making fun of her. They're mocking her. They're laughing at her, talking about her. Listen, friend, that same very crowd that'll egg you on in sin, when you do get out there and fall in it, they're the very ones that's going to mock you. It's amazing. That's what happened to Israel. They became a mocking stock, man. People begin to laugh and they was a reproach to heathens. Didn't even mean to stop there. I just felt like I ought to say that. Thou become guilty in thy blood, thou hast shed blood. Verse 5, go down. I make thee a reproach unto the heathen, a mocking to all countries. Those that be near and those that be far from thee shall mock thee, which are infamous and much vexed. Behold, the princes of Israel, every one were in thee to their power to shed, were in thee to their power to shed blood. In thee have they set light by, listen, in thee have they set light by father and mother. In the midst of thee have they dealt by oppression with the stranger. In thee have they vexed the fatherless and the widow. Thou hast despised mine holy things and hast profaned my Sabbaths. Isn't that amazing? In thee are men that carry tales to shed blood. In thee they eat upon the mountains. In the midst of thee they commit lewdness. In thee have they discovered their father's nakedness. In thee have they humbled her that was set apart for pollution. Now watch this. And one hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife, and another hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and another in thee have humbled his sister, his father's daughter. In thee have they taken gifts to shed blood. Thou hast taken usury and increase, and hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion, and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord God. Why are you reading that? Because I'm just trying to tell you some of the filthiness of our flesh. Some of the filthiness of sin. That don't even scratch the surface, ladies and gentlemen. But there's some stuff in there that ought to make you about puke. I'm just telling you. And it's filthy, friend. And that's what we're caught up. That's America right there as a whole, caught up in that kind of stuff. It's amazing at the junk that goes on in this country anymore. Filthy. Filthy. But what did David say? What did David say about all this? David said, if you remember in Psalms chapter 51, he said, we talked about it not long ago. He said, renew a right spirit within me. Remember that? Renew a right spirit within. Why? Because he said, this filthiness has went beyond my flesh. This filthiness has went beyond my outward man.
This filthiness has reached down to my inner being, has reached my spirit, and my spirit has got out of whack with God. My spirit is not what it ought to be. I'm not bringing glory and honor to God. I need a right spirit created in me. Renew that. Renew that. If you notice, when I was looking at this stuff, I got to looking and seeing. I literally could see Caitlin and I could see Sarah Bella and Isaiah and Nathan and Stephen, and I could just see these kids around here. You ever notice, Miss Holly, when you look at kids, sometimes their age, everything's still so innocent, everything's still just fun. I mean, they ain't got the stresses of life on them. You understand what I'm saying? They ain't got a light bill due this week. They ain't got the money to pay. I mean, man, they come to church, dear God. They ain't got a care in the world. You see them, man, they just running. They carefree. They happy. You ever notice that? Little old kids just playing, having a big old time. You know, something really bad. When you see a kid that can't have a real good time, something bad is happening in their life. Yeah. Right. I mean, some kind of tragedy is stuck in their life. Something bad is happening to them or has happened to them. For them to sit around and not be a normal, well, kids are happy people. I like kids. I like to watch them have a good time you know what takes that smile away, Miss Holly? Come on now, church. This is just fundamental. I know it's simple, but it's very practical. You know what takes the smile off of these young people's face? I think about all the kids in this church. I think about all the kids in this church. I've watched them for years. I'm still watching them come in, Miss Jenny. They come in. Sometimes they come in about half mad, but they come in by the time it's over with. They're happy. They run and they play. Man, they get woke up. They get loose. They ready to go. They're happy. But then it seems like, Miss Holly, there comes a time in our life where we're not so happy anymore. Why kids sit around so miserable? Why you sit around so disgruntled? What is it? Huh? Is it because I love you? Is it because your mom and daddy loves you? Is it because you got good marks down at the schoolhouse? I mean, I'm trying to figure out why in the world we lose our happiness, why we lose that smile, why we lose that funness about us, that it? I'm going to tell you why, son. Because of sin. Sin takes that pleasure. Sin takes that innocence. Sin takes that fun out of your life. And what's your mark with that old sin? You got the marks of sin on you, friend. I tell you, we can get what we want. God's always, listen to me, God's always there to give us what we want. God's always give us what we want. Israel didn't need a king, but Israel wanted a king. You know what God said? God said, here's your king, but I'll tell you what, you're going to live to regret it. And they did, friend. Now that crowd sat up there at that cross and said, let his blood be on us and our children. Can I tell you something? The blood of them people is on the nation of Israel. You hear me? They're paying for that. Israel's paying for what they did to Jesus on that cross. That blood is on their children. Sure it is. They're paying the price for that today, pal. Mm-hmm. God will give you what you want. You want to kill Jesus? I'll crucify him. He'll let you have it. I'll tell you how strong I am on that, Miss Stephanie. I believe we go to these meetings, and I believe these good men that moderate these meetings. I believe there's godly men filled with the Spirit. But I believe the crowd wants entertained. I believe the crowd wants emotionalism. I believe the crowd wants a goosebump. And I believe God tells that Spirit-filled man, go ahead and have so-and-so up to preach tonight. And that man gets up, he'll turn purple and jump and swing from the chandelier. Everybody get goosebumps and go home with an emotional high. See, God ain't let a million miles of it. He can get 49 professions and people's going to go home twofold, a child of hell. You say, well, I'm talking about God will let you have what you want. But I tell you, you're going to lose something. You can have what you want, but you're going to lose what you got. That's right, friend. You can chase this old world down, the pleasures of this world, the filthiness of this world, and you can indulge. Listen, it don't stop with your flesh. Miss Stephanie, my flesh ain't what makes me smile. There's a spirit on the inside of me, and when my spirit gets filthy, then, friend, I lose my happiness.
I don't feel his spirit. Yeah.
I've seen it time and time again. People want to get off in sin. God lets you get off in that mess. Well, let me ask you a question. What happened to that smile? Huh? What happened to that joy you used to have? What happened to that fun? What happened to that free spirit you used to have? Why can't you be around people that loves you and loves God? People that just, you know, live in clean lives and enjoy you. Why can't we do that? Because our old spirit's done got filthy. Huh? That'll help you.
That helps me. That helps me.
Got an old filthy spirit. He said you need to clean that. Clean your filthy spirits out. You know what makes people not find pleasure in God? The same thing takes that... Gracie does. The same thing takes that smile off your face. I tell you one thing, friend. You get away, you get out there in sin. You let that feel start settling in your spirit. You don't enjoy the things of God. Can't enjoy the things of God. Man, you go down there to a good church service where the Word of God's being preached. I mean, the Word of God ought to make you happy. You hear me? I'm telling you, friend, I can have fellowship with a brother in the Word of God, and man, he starts saying stuff about that Bible, I get plumb excited. Do you hear me? I mean, he don't have to swing from those chandeliers for me. Man, he just gets to talk about that book. I get happy. I can get happy in that Word. And that ain't because I'm somebody, that's just because Jesus is living on the inside, my old spirit's clean, and I have that fellowship with him. Amen. You can have it too. Miss Holly, you know why people's, I'm talking about our spirit. You know why people's attitude stinks? You ever notice people with bad attitudes? Just bad attitude, man. Who wants to be around that? Who enjoys being around people with bad attitudes? Mully grubbing, unhappy, just always down in the mouth like a dentist. I mean, who in the name of God wants to be around that, huh? What makes an attitude bad? It's odd if you talk back to me. What makes an attitude bad? Thank you, Mama. Thank you. I can't help it, Miss Stephanie. I can be down there, Michael, in my study, and I can see this little girl running around. I can. I can see how happy. I can see little Isaiah running around. Man, I can see how happy. And I've seen it for years and years, and then there comes a day where that happiness is gone, and it don't have to. I'm a 49-year-old man. I'm a pretty happy camper. Amen. I mean, you know, until somebody makes me mad, I'm pretty happy. Amen. I'm pretty good. I just do pretty good. I just have a good time in life, ladies and gentlemen. You say, preacher, you got everything you want? I ain't got nowhere near everything I want. And don't need everything that I want. I got more than I need, I can promise you that. But I promise you this much, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, listen, I ain't trying to be... Can I be real with you? There's people in here that works every day of their life. I know that. And Michael, I've been to church where them preachers make me feel like an egg-sucking dog because I didn't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to read my Bible and get a hold of God. I mean, they make me feel terrible. I was having to be on the job at 5 o'clock. You remember some of these days. I mean, having to be on the job at 5 o'clock, and you've got a wife and a kid or two or three, and you've got to come home from work trying to be a husband and a daddy and a Christian and a Sunday school teacher and a preacher, and man, you got to try to find time to study, and then you got to get up again at 4 o'clock in the morning and go to work, and then you go to church, and you got these old-timers sitting around talking about how sorry you are if you don't get up in the morning early and spend time with God. I've seen some of them people sit and do that stuff, Miss Tanya, talking about how they spend time with God. Next thing you know, they run off with another woman. Now, what in the name of God is that? You spend all that time in the secret place early in the morning. Why you got to? I've heard that stuff and seen it all my life, Miss Stephanie.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be honest with you.
I did something last night I've never done in my life. Never done it in my life. I had a burden. I was so tired. Just drained. Physically tired, okay? See, what most of you guys forget to tell you, Michael, is that when they get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, they're going to go back to bed at 10 and sleep about 12 or 1. And then they get back up about 12 and 1 and you're on your lunch break. And them suckers is getting back up out of bed. Oh yeah, they got up at 4. But they went back to bed and slept till about 1 o'clock.
And I know that. I know most of them do that kind of junk.
But I had a burden on my heart. I got a burden on my heart for this congregation and people in this congregation. And I was concerned about tonight, Mike. I was concerned about it. And your daddy beats all I've ever seen. I mean, for God's sakes, he tells me on Monday he knows what he's going to preach the next Sunday. And I feel, man, I don't even like you. Don't talk about that. I don't even like you saying that. I mean, it'd be 4 o'clock in Saturday morning before I know what I'm going to preach Sunday. And I mean, he's over on Monday knowing. I envy that. But I got a burden. I told my wife last night I did something I've never done in my life. Because I wasn't sure what God wanted me to do tonight. Zach, would you believe that I went and got me 3 shots of espresso? Is that how you say it? Espresso? I went and got 3 shots of espresso and took me some BC powders and chased them BC powders with that espresso. 3 shots of espresso. So why'd you do that? Because I wanted to be able to stay up. I was tired. And you know what, Miss Holly, I did that. And finally, the Lord let me go to bed last night. Still didn't have nothing really settled what I was going to do. Would you believe that he came by over there this morning at my house and got me up real early? I mean, I felt like I was on a good drunk hangover. You understand? I mean, man, I was, Lord, have mercy. And I wanted to roll over in that bed so bad. Boy, I wanted to roll over, but you understand, I needed to get something from God. I need to get something from God. I don't get up because I just want to be able to tell y'all I got up. I believe if I'd have laid in that bed, I'd have missed 2 Corinthians chapter 7 this morning. I believe I'd have missed that spiritual part. I believe I'd have missed it.
Listen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Hey, I don't always go into the secret place, or I don't always go to my little place of study and do the cartwheels and jumping jacks either. But I can promise you one thing, it ain't because of a filthy spirit. I might be wore out in my flesh and have to come to church sometimes dragging that used car a lot behind me, man. And I may be door slammed out, but I promise you one thing, it ain't because of filthiness in my spirit. It's just because of just being wore out in the flesh. Huh? God help us, ladies and gentlemen. Don't let sin steal you of your happiness. Remember the other day I talked about how to be happy. Don't let sin steal that from you. I mean, what time does these little kids have to lose that innocence? Huh? What point in our age do we have to lose that innocence? Because when we lose it, it seems like we lose so much more. You understand that? We just lose so much more. When we indulge in the filthiness of the flesh, it defies or corrupts everything. You understand that? Kind of what I'm saying. When you indulge in this old flesh, it just ruins everything. It corrupts everything. It defies. Hey, look, look at what you going to do about old Samson? Once he began to feed his flesh, his spirit became defiled. And I mean, here's a man that just taking the Nazarite vow. And this meant that he was holy and separated. He had to live a holy and separated life. And he did a pretty good job at it, pretty good. Esau, we know, for just a morsel of meat, sold his birthright. You understand that due to the filthiness of this man's flesh, he was willing to give up the blessings of God in his life. Isn't that amazing? You think that made him happy? That didn't make him happy. David, the very one that said, renew a right spirit within me. I thought, why did David say renew a right spirit within me? Why did he say that? Why did he choose to say that? Renew a right spirit within me.
Because the filthiness of his flesh had done reached his spirit. You understand that? Here's a man that had a lovable spirit. If you remember when him and Jonathan got hooked up together, Jonathan said that he loved him as if it was his own soul. He was lovable. He had a lovable spirit. Hey, I mean, just think about it, ladies and gentlemen. How many people do you run across that they're lovable? It's easy to love them. Huh? You want to know why it ain't easy to love some people? Got a filthy spirit. Got a filthy spirit. Well, get that old spirit right, man. It's a lovable spirit. A clean spirit. It's a lovable spirit. As a lad, you can see David out there in the fields tending to his father's sheep. He had a helpful spirit, didn't he? I mean, just a servant's heart. Daddy told him to go out there and take care of the sheep. David's out there tending the sheep, you understand? I mean, here's a little fellow, man. David was just as happy as he could be. I mean, you read it, buddy. David was a happy dude. You read his life, man, the Bible talks about him, his character. I mean, man, I can remember being a kid wanting to be like David because what a great young person he was. Man, he was lovable, he was likable, he was happy, he was helpful. He just did everything he was asked to do. We'd go out there and tend his father's sheep. Didn't cause no problems, man. Didn't run home and whine about adversity. The lions came out, he'd kill them, the bears came out, he'd kill them. Just do whatever he had to do. Helpful. Daddy called him out there one day and said, "Don't you take these cheese and crackers down there to the battlefield?" Okay, Dad. Loaded up that meal and went down there to the battlefield when they was fighting the Philistines and found his brothers. And I don't blame them. I'd have been hiding in the rocks too. This out there for 120 days. It wasn't easy battles. They wasn't shooting machine guns. Wasn't everything being handled. Man, they had to labor for 120 days. They sat out there and fought. They didn't fall like men. Had to have a break, and they went out there and hid out in them rocks, and here come old David. I believe it was ordained by God. It wouldn't have been good for him to show up when they was in the heat of the battle. I believe it was ordained by God to send them something to eat when they was having to withdraw and take a break for a little bit. They walked up and seen that uncircumcised Philistine out there cussing their God. Man, oh man, can't you see that spirit of David rise up in him? Say, I tell you, man, give me this guy, man. I tell you right now, I'll kill him. I'll cut his hair. He's not going to cuss my God. He's not going to sit here and mock my family. He's not, hey, I'm talking about a good, right spirit, man. Standing for what's right. Good man, he said. God said he's after my own heart. Would you believe a man like that could plot murder? Would you believe a man like that could take one of the best men in his military and have him murdered? You say, what in the world? I'm just telling you, David indulged this in sin, friend. We're no different. He's no different. We're all human beings. We're all prone to wander. And I'm telling you, David got out there and he got his eyes off of Jesus and got him on this old sin. And he indulged in that sin and he filthied his flesh, mister. When his flesh got filthy, it sunk in. Got to his spirit. I'll tell you, his spirit started working all in vain imaginations. He started conjuring up all them ideas, all them wicked thoughts. Hey, friend, that wasn't coming from his flesh. That was coming out of a filthy spirit. Him conjuring up all them wicked ideas. Tell you what I'll do. I'll have him come over here and get him drunk. Isn't that amazing? I'll get him over here and get him drunk. That wasn't the filthiness of his flesh. It doesn't reach his spirit by that time, friend. I'll get him drunk and get him to go over there and make him think that he laid with his wife. And everything will be okay. But that old man of God said, you know what? I'm not going to lay with my wife while my brother's out on the battlefield. I'm not going to take part of this, David. I'm going to be out there with him. David said, that's fine. Told his men, he said, when y'all get up there in the heat of that battle, put him on the front lines and the rest of you back out of the way. What would make a man do something like that? What would make a man walk over there that had everything, Miss Holly? Had everything. Had all kind of cattle. Had all kind of herds. Every sheep a man could want. Everything a man could desire. David had it. And he looked over at one poor man that had only one sheep and said, I'll take that sheep from that man. What would make a man do something like that, Miss Stephanie? The foul spirit, a filthy spirit inside of him.
Because he's done indulged in his sin. Man, that thing's done got a grip. It's got a hold of him. It's controlling him now. Isn't it amazing how that sin gets to controlling us? It starts controlling the things that we think, the things that we say. It controls the things that we listen to. It controls the way we react to people. It controls our attitudes. It controls every kind of aspect like that in our life. Because it's done got a filthy spirit. Isn't that amazing? Once you begin to feed this filth, once you begin to feed on the filth of sin into your life, it's just a matter of time when your spirit is filthy too, that's all. Our flesh kind of just craves some of this stuff, and we like to blame a lot of things on our flesh, but ladies and gentlemen, it goes beyond our flesh, and then we start just giving in to this thing and letting this thing control us, control everything. Now we can't even be happy unless we get our way. Isn't that amazing? You know how often I get my way, Miss Holly? Not very often. And that's fine, thank God. You know why? Because he said, if you'll delight in him, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Amen. It ain't about my desires. It ain't about my wants. I tell you, Miss Debbie, I learned how to delight in the Lord, and he gives me the desires that I have now. Amen. A new desire. Right. So, preacher, what do you desire? Listen, I desire to walk closer to him. I desire a closer walk to him. Right. There are a lot of things, ladies and gentlemen, and most of them are centered around the Lord Jesus Christ, and that ain't because I'm a good person, that's because of what God's done for me. Listen to what the fool would say. You can follow him along in your Bible. Well, preacher, David did it, and David made it back. That's what the fool says. David did it, preacher, and David made it back. Yes, he did. I have to agree. Yes, he did. But let me tell you what the Bible says. The sword shall never leave thy house. And as long as David lived, he lived under the judgment of God Almighty. How would you like to come home one day? Yes, he made it back. But he came home one day and instead he found his little daughter over there crying her eyeballs out. What's wrong with you, Tamar? Oh, Daddy. Daddy, my brother came into my tent while you were gone. He seduced me and he raped me, Daddy, my own brother! My own brother! He raped me, Daddy. Yeah, you make it back. You make it back. But you're gonna make it back with some baggage. That's right. You're gonna make it back with some things, Miss Debbie, that you picked up out there, and you're gonna make it back with some things that you've lost out there. I'm telling you right now, friend, that thing's a two-way street. You can go out there, but you're going to lose that purity. You can go out there, but you're going to lose that innocence. You're going to lose that fun. You're going to lose that happiness. You're going to lose that stuff. And sometimes much, much worse. I could just about go around and start calling names at people that went out. Yes, they made it back. Yes, they made it back. I know people, Miss Debbie, that went out and done dope, but they made it back. And they made it back with diseases. I know people that went out and flirted around with sex and they made it back, but they've had to deal with sex diseases for the rest of their life. Miss Debbie, you know what's real sad? Some of them never do even make it back. The ones that do make it back, Miss Holly, they got some horror stories. And you know good and well. I mean, we can look over there at Naomi. And she said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. She said, I went out full and I came back empty. She said, the Lord dealt very bitterly with me. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you go out there and you come back, you don't come back happy. It's not a happy thing. You lose that out there. Oh, you can get it back. Yes, sir. But you'll get it back with some memories. You hear me? You're going to get it back, but you can come back and there's going to be some deep-rooted scars down there that you'll never be able to erase from your life. They called me last night, Mama.
And you remember old Polly. And her son was my age, 49 years old, Bobby Myers. 49 years old, Zach. And the man's in hell tonight. Are you listening? Old Bobby, I felt bad for his mama. I felt bad for her because they were taking care of such a drug. His life was such a mess. I mean, just drinking his life away. A 40-something-year-old man looked like he was about 70-something, just skin and that smoking dope, messing around with every woman that would mess with him. Just a rough life. He was a reproach to his own children. Are you listening? I mean, his own son was so ashamed of him. He's trying to shoot his boy, trying to kill his boy. He was out there just living it up, having a big time, having a big old time. He was such a drunk, Zach. I tried to hire him to give his mama a break so they didn't have to pay all the bills for him, get him out there on the job. Michael, and he couldn't work the same. Just could not work. I gave him some cedar siding one day that was pre-cut. I'd already cut it. It was about that wide on the corner of a house. And I told him, I said, Bobby, I got to run up the road and do something. I said, you just put this on. Put this on, and I'll be right back. I said, just go right up to the top. Come back, and I think he might have had two pieces on. I'm talking about 2 hours later. Miss Stephanie, if I was a betting man, I'd bet everything in my possession. Bobby's in hell tonight. He got to smoke all the dope he wanted to smoke. He got to drink all the booze he wanted to drink. He got to mess with every girl he wanted to mess with. And he never made it back. Now Miss Polly's got to sit over there and worry about her boy being dead and gone. Mama's got to grieve over her dead son now. Ain't it fun? You want to know where that happiness goes? I'm telling you, friend, it goes out in the filthiness of our flesh. It goes out in the filthiness of our spirit, indulging in sin and getting our old bodies dirty and getting our spirit dirty. Man, it changes your whole outlook on everything sin does. Sanchez made it back, didn't he? He made it back. Bible said Samson had to take that Nazarite vow. If you look at it, ladies and gentlemen, he had to live a pretty clean, a pretty holy, a separated life. Pretty separated. Until he fell in love. The Bible said he fell in love with that harlot over there. Fell in love with the violent. And listen, he flirted around with sin. He started messing around in sin. Laid his head in her lap and began to tell her those little riddles and making light of the things of God, the presence of God on his life. He started flirting around with the very touch of God on his life. Finally ended up telling her, and they said, listen, if you'll get it out of him, we'll give you money, all of us. We'll give you money, each one of us. He said, look, it's in my hair. It's in my hair. And God even cut his hair off and gouged his eyes out. He became a laughing stock just like God said he would. He became a laughing stock to the Philistines. They tied him to the mill and he laid over there. He stood over there and ground at the mill. I mean, labored. That sin caused him to labor and labor. And he sat over there tied to them pillars one day and he began to pray and repent and confess and cleanse his own spirit, Miss Stephanie. God heard his prayer. God heard him, J.D. God said, you know what, Samson? I'll touch you one more time. And he did. Samson pulled them pillars and that place collapsed to his own doom. The Bible says he killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life put together. But I'll tell you something, friend. Going out there cost him his own life. Yeah, God heard him. God granted him his prayer. He let him have his power back. He did it, but it cost him his life. Wonder sometimes, man, what all we are willing to pay. I mean, sometimes it seems like our happiness ain't enough. It seems like our attitudes ain't enough. It seems like our disposition ain't enough. It's not, we're willing to give our life for the filthiness of this old spirit and flesh. Folks, many folks have made it back, but many folks haven't. Mama, and I'm being personal. remember being a boy, and I'm saying stuff like this because maybe some of y'all can remember some of this stuff. I can remember being a boy. I remember being a boy. And I can remember them all. They were flirting around with sin. But I remember people like Carl Bennett was fun. I mean, as a little boy, Stephen's age and even younger, and some of these guys, they were 18, 19, 20 years old, they were wild as bucks, and man, they just went wide open. They would ride motorcycles through the school halls, and just, ride their dirt bikes down the school halls and have wrecks and get caught. And but you know, man, as a kid, they was laughing and cutting up and having a big time. I was sitting up there at my grandma's when they was building that house with his heart. I went up there to see my uncle because he was laying brick. There was a couple of people sitting around. Wormy was up there. And a couple of people sitting around. I was sitting up there and somebody said, well, did you say hey, Linda? She said, did you say hey, Carl? I went, who? She said, Carl. I said, Carl who? She said, Carl Ben. I said, no, I said, hey, Carl. I ain't seen Carl. She said, well, Donnie, that's him right there. And I looked at him, Zach, and I'm talking about a boy that was blonde-headed, short enough, and blue-eyed, and good-looking, built like a brick, just a good-looking man. A good-looking 18, 19, 20-year-old man. Just a stud of a man. Sit there and looked at him, and he looked like a little cracked up, wilted up crack pipe or something. And I, before I even thought, I just went, Carl, that's you? I said, Carl, you look awful. And I didn't mean to be mean. I didn't mean to be rude. It just... Man, I didn't even recognize him. He looked so bad. And the fun was gone, Miss Holly. The laughter was gone. The looks was gone. The body was gone. The happiness was gone. He just sat over on an old bucket, miserable as hell. Looked like a hell. It looked like he'd been run over. I mean, sin done run its course. Oh, filthy, filthy sin. Think about people over and over in my mind. Used to have fun in this life. Where they are today. No fun. No fun. Sin ain't no fun. A season runs out so quick. It's so soon to run out. Look back at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. He said, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, I very briefly bumped up on Ezekiel 22 a while ago just to display a little filthiness of our flesh. And I've touched on some of these men to see how it goes from our flesh and reaches down in our spirit. I touched on the men of the Bible, Esau. You can look at him. You can look at many, many others through the Bible. You can look at people in your own life that wants just to have a smile, wants just to have good attitudes, wants just to be fun. Michael, y'all's little girls is just young right now. It's fun, man. It's fun. But the devil has a snare for your children this time. May come a day, if time prevails, we'll have a snare set up there. All he wants to do is cause a wedge between you and them. What in the name of God would drive a wedge between a mother and a daughter, huh? The strongest bond that should be on planet Earth outside of that husband and wife, a mother and a daughter, a daddy and a son, and yet there's wedges that gets driven between them and they start separating. Ladies and gentlemen, what is that? Is that what we want? I hate to pull television into this, but there's nothing much better than a home scene. You look up there and you see something like the walls, Miss Amber. That's a blessed thing. To look around that table and see all them youngins and see that mama and see that daddy. Everybody just seems to be getting along and everybody loves each other. And I know it's a make-believe world, but I'm telling you, Miss Debbie, God desires our homes to be in unity. Sure he does. He desires our homes to be spirit-filled. And he's made it so that it could be that way. And I read a story not long ago of
of a young mother, Miss Debbie, that sent her freshman, her 17-year-old daughter off to college. And that girl got stalked as she got stalked. I'm talking about this was the apple of her mama's eye. Her mama and daddy had split up, and the marriage had ended when the girl was 2 years old. And that mama and that daughter, they just bonded together. Man, it stayed that way until that girl went to college and she got stalked and abducted and murdered and thrown in a ditch. That mama found her when all was left was a skeleton. That's it. That's all was left. Skeleton remains.
Ladies and gentlemen, it ain't supposed to be that way. God don't intend for things to be that way.
Cleanse yourself means, and I just simply looked the word cleanse up in a plain old dictionary, 1828 dictionary. It means to purify yourself. It means to make clean, to remove filth. That's what the dictionary said. It says to remove filth or foul matter of any kind. Foul matter of any kind. That's pretty self-explanatory. Do we do this? Do we do that? Look at 1 John chapter 1. And I'm hurrying. I'm about done. A preacher Sunday said, two-eyed John. I'm talking about one-eyed John. 1 John chapter 1. Verse number 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, listen, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us. Ain't that what he said over there in 2 Corinthians? Cleanse yourself. How do you do that, ladies and gentlemen? You come clean with God. Oh. I mean, man, you confess it to him. That word confess, I mean, without going into deep detail, it just simply means to admit God knows what you are. He knows who you are. He knows you better than you know you. God sometimes just waiting on you to admit to him what you are. Look at me. Look at Galatians chapter 6 real quick. A few passages. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians chapter 6. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Matthew 10:28. We're going to go right back to what that preacher dealt with Sunday, and I didn't even mean to, but the Lord took me back there. Verse 28 says, and fear not, you want to know how to purify yourself, cleanse yourself? Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, the end of that verse says, perfected holiness. How? In the fear of God. You want to know how to come clean? Get that fear of God about you. Say, I don't know how. Ask God. Look, man, that fear is the beginning of what? Wisdom. It's the beginning of them. It's, you want to know how to do this? You want to know how to have a right spirit? Man, I'm telling you, fear of God. You can't have a pure spirit. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. No man. Ladies and gentlemen, you gotta have that fear of God.
And you can cleanse your spirit. You can cleanse your life. I'm going to tell you why people might, well, this is all good devil do. It ain't deep. But the reason people can just live like a dog and never be bothered by it, because, Miss David, they do not fear God. They don't fear God. You want to know good and well why I didn't do a lot of things in my life? Because I feared her and my stepdad. You understand that? There's a lot of things because of fear that I held out on. There's a lot of things in my life that I held out on because I feared God.
That's right. Just don't want to mess with God. Don't want to tempt Him. Let me ask you this. No more scriptures. What is so wrong or bad about living holy? It's a good question, ain't it? What's wrong with living right? What's wrong? What's wrong with obeying the Word of God? He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. You do what I say. You'll obey my Word. What's wrong with living right? What's wrong with living holy? Answer that question. You ought to ask yourself, why? What is wrong with me living holy? Why don't I live holy? What's wrong with it? What is it that this world and this flesh and the devil has to offer that's worth a life of regrets and misery and an eternity of damnation? What is it? What is it so good in our flesh that's worth being miserable for, huh? What is it the devil's got that's so worth dying and going to hell for? What is it that this world's got to offer that's so good that it'll separate the love of a mama and a child, a husband and a wife, a brother and a sister? What is it? I'll tell you what it is, Miss Holly. It's that filthiness. It's that filthiness. I tell you, bud, we need to come clean with God and cleanse our hearts and cleanse our spirits and cleanse our flesh. And God will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's right. Father, we thank you for this time. I thank you for the attentiveness of the people tonight. I pray, Lord, you take this simple thought. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing me with it. Don't help nobody. God, it helps me. And I want to thank you for it, Lord. I'm so glad, God, you showed up in my secret place and helped me, God. I appreciate you doing that for me. What a good God. What a good God you are to me. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the people. Thank you for everybody that's here. I mean it, dear God. I thank you for every individual that comes to this place. Lord, I pray that you'd bless them, dear God. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to strive, to live right, God, to hunger and thirst for righteousness, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.